Here we go, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. This series can be sort of depressing. You certainly shouldn't preach these kind of messages, they tell you, if you are in a new church or trying to build a new church, because people don't want to hear this kind of mess. But you know what? It's in the Bible, and we believe the Bible. It's in the Bible, we're going to talk about it, okay? It's a book we can trust. We don't need to manipulate. You need God's Word, and you need to know what's happening, perhaps, if these are the last days. Who knows? But it's going to encourage your heart. So we've been doing this message series, and here's the last one. We got Halloween. The whole world talks about death this week and all on television, everything like that. So, well, the Bible has something to say about the subject, too. So let's look at it with this fourth horseman. Here we go, this morning. I didn't know where I was going with this message. I was sort of like, oh, no, I got to do another horseman. Usually when I teach the book of Revelation, I go right over this pretty quick in Revelation 6. But we parked it a while. Matter of fact, when we get done today, you'll have the whole chapter 6 of the book of Revelation that's been pretty well covered. On MSNBC, George Carlin, the comedian, said, and he wasn't kidding, he was talking to Keith Olbermann, he said, the Bible is science fiction. Okay? Had a guy come to my office this week. He said his dad was a Methodist minister, been a minister for years. Said his dad believes and preaches literally reincarnation and things like that. Doesn't believe the book of Genesis or the book of Revelation. Well, isn't that convenient? Amen? Don't believe God created you, and you don't believe, you know, heaven and end time events and things are going to happen. You know, that's real convenient, isn't it? A lot of people do that. Ooh, it's spooky. It's science fiction. Okay? And that's what George Carlin said the other night. And I'm really thankful for this ugly rascal because he helped me with my message. And God spoke to my heart. The show's host, Keith Olbermann, who I don't like either a whole lot, agreed with him. And there's millions of people that would agree with him. The Bible's science fiction. You might be here today or watching on television, listening on radio. Well, I hope you don't turn me off and keep listening. So I'm sure that millions agree with this guy. But let's check it out. Messages like I've been preaching the past 3 weeks on the horsemen, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This isn't what we always preach. Every October, I do a message series on prophecy. I think it's important to keep focused also that Jesus is coming again. Amen? Like his song said. So I try to do that every year, and it shows up in other messages as well from time to time. But the past 3 weeks, these messages, they're criticized, I'm sure, by non-believers and believers alike. All right? So let's go with this a little further. So let's look and see if what we've seen and what I've said so far sounds like science fiction. Let's just do a little test. We're going to put George to the test. Let's see if what I've been saying is science fiction. Let's look at it. The white horse, the first one we talked about an antichrist, a leader. In the last days, a world leader will be propelled into a position of great authority and will deceive many. Does that sound like science fiction? Have anybody ever known a great leader, a politician who was a little bit crooked and deceitful? Let's see a hand. All right, I believe that ain't science fiction. Let's look at another one. This guy, leadership, will orchestrate what seems to be a real peace solution for the Middle East crisis. Well, wonder if it was science fiction when Jimmy Carter got together with Anwar Sadat and Begin. If that was all, was that science fiction? Or do people really do try to solve the Middle East crisis? Yes or no? And then Clinton, with Rabin and Arafat, of all people. Okay? And then even now, Condoleezza Rice. I mean, last time I watched the news too. It looks like people are still trying to fix what? Middle East. So does that sound like science fiction? Doesn't sound like science fiction to me. It's easy to make a statement like that. Bible, science fiction. Won't you read the Bible? Won't you study? Won't you get a little slower? Examine it. Amen? Keep looking. This leader, along with others, will break the peace treaty and all hell's going to break loose. There's going to be war like you've never seen before in the Middle East, according to the Bible. Now, let's just see if that's science fiction. Do you think if a peace treaty is made with Israel and in the Middle East, do you think there's going to be all kinds of people and nations and forces trying to break that thing, yes or no? Obviously. And also, do you think if a real gigantic war, is it a possibility that's a ticking time bomb over there right now and it could just go crazy and all hell could break loose? Is that science fiction? Is that more reality? See what I'm saying? More reality. So, I'm not so sure this is science fiction. Looks pretty good to me. Let's keep looking. Because of the devastation of the war that will take place, according to the Bible, in the last days. Are we in the last days? I'm not sure. I'm just going to live like we are. Amen? Because of the devastation of war, economies are going to collapse. When war gets into nations and nations are devastated, do economies collapse, or is that science fiction? Economies collapse. People are going to literally starve due to the lack of food and services. Is that what happens? Yes or no? Of course it is. Okay, let's keep looking. So does this sound like science fiction or more like reality? The thing is, to me, it sounds more like reality. Okay? So let's move forward now. We've seen the first three horsemen. Let's go to the fourth one and let's ride. Here we go. Let's go to the Word of God, the book of Revelation, chapter 6. We've seen the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and now the pale horse, death. Can you say that with me? The pale horse, death. All right? What's this talking about, preacher? Well, let's get into it and let's see what we can learn. Let's read the scripture together, Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, say it with me, and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the what? Fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. What is that talking about? Let's look at it. Let's break it down. Let's go. First of all, we see a beast opens the seal. And I just want to take a quick look at this for us this morning. The fourth beast is a flying eagle. And you might go, see, it's science fiction. Well, no, there's no doubt there's imagery used in the Bible so that we can understand and so things can be explained. And I just want to break this down just a little bit and look at it. How do I know this fourth beast is a flying eagle? Because if you back up two chapters, Revelation chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says the first beast was a lion. We saw that with the white horse. The lion, the kingly lion, introduces a leader. That sort of makes sense. The second beast was like a calf. That introduced war. Calves are sacrificed and slaughtered like happens in war. Boy, God's pretty good with this imagery Bible stuff, isn't he? 2,000 years ago, seemed to be pretty cool. Right on the money. The third beast had a face as of a man. The third horse, the black horse, represents famine, and famine has a human face. You can't stand the pictures. We put them up last week. Remember the human faces that cried out at us last week? And so today, we see the fourth beast was like a what? Flying eagle. Let's see how God did on that one in His Word, and John, who received this vision as he's writing it, as he receives it from Jesus. Let's see if that makes sense for us, because we're talking about death. We think in the United States of eagles as patriotic, right? Amen? How many stop if you see an eagle, you go, whoa, it's an eagle? Y'all do that too? Like, we didn't have any in North Carolina where I lived. I don't think they liked their area or something, you know? They want much to eat there. Maybe that's why they didn't come there. But anyway, but that's how we are. They're patriotic, majestic, they're sharp-eyed, they're fierce. And you know what? They are. But wait a minute. They're also carrion eaters. They're listed first in the company, say it with me, of vultures and what? Buzzards. The fourth horse, pale, death, eagle, buzzards. They eat both living flesh and detestable, decaying flesh. Okay? If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 11 through 13, God says, of all clean birds you shall eat. But these are they which you shall not eat. Which is the first one listed? Say, eagle. And that ain't because he's the American bird, all right? It's because of what he eats. Amen? And the ossifrage, the osprey, the glade, the kite, the vulture after his kind. So we see this beast that opens up this seal, that introduces this seal, is the eagle. I think it's a very appropriate creature to introduce the fourth horseman, don't you say? If we're talking about death, if we're talking about carnage, you going to have the lion do that? You going to have the calf do that? I just think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty interesting. The more I study the Bible and the closer I study it, this is me, the more I believe it. Amen? So at Fellowship, here's what we believe. We believe all the Bible. We believe the Bible is without error. If you're here today and you go, well, the Bible's full of errors, well, you're in total disagreement with me. I don't believe the Bible's full of errors at all. And if there's something I don't understand in the Bible, and there's a lot, I chalk that up to my ignorance, and when I get there, he'll help me understand it. Amen? But I'm not going to indict God on this earth that His Word isn't true. I'm going to stand for His Word. Amen? And the more I study it, the more I'm going, wow, this is something I should stand for. Amen? So let's keep looking. Look at this verse. We did verse 7. Now verse 8. And I looked and say it with me. Behold a what? Pale horse. So let's look at this pale horse. What's this all about? A pale horse. Let's examine him a little closer. What's this idea of a pale horse? And what does that mean? The word pale in the Greek is the word chloros. And by the way, I consulted with a literal Greek scholar this week. I mean, one that breathes. She's right here. Wave at us, Dina. Amen. Yay! What was your last name before you got married? One more time. So trust me, she's Greek. Amen? Here we go. Hey, that word, chloros, for pale, is the word, it's our English word that we translate for chlorine, chlorophyll, chloroform. Let's keep looking carefully. Did the Bible give us a good definition of color here? Death, pale? Let's look at it. This word technically refers to a greenish-yellow color found in pale green of just-sprouted grass or new leaves. Secular Greek writers from way back when, like Homer, who wrote in the Iliad and the Odyssey, he used it to describe the pale greenish-gray color of a what? Corpse or decaying flesh. The Bible tells us in the last days, this is just in the middle part as we come into the tribulation period, as we're making our way through it, we see a fourth of humanity is going to be killed through war, starvation, disease, etc. And if you keep on reading through the trip, a whole other third are going to lose their life. I'm telling you, I don't want to be here. Are you listening? I want to trust Jesus Christ. I want to believe Him. I don't want to do this. Amen? Here we go. So that's what death looks like. Death looks like pale, greenish yellow. And by the way, George, that's reality. It's not science fiction. I wish death didn't look like that. That's what death looks like. Are y'all listening? Somebody said, what kind of shirt you got on today? I didn't realize it, but it sort of looks like this shirt. Are you hearing me? That's what it looks like. Let's keep looking. And his name that sat on him, we're walking through this verse, was Death. This is the only horseman to receive a name. We didn't hear that of the white, we didn't hear that of the red, we didn't hear that of the black. But on the pale horse, we get his name, and the one riding is called what? Death. And let's look at that just a minute. Death is the word thanatos, but it can also easily be translated pestilence, or death by disease, or death by pestilence, which brings forth death. And that's what's going to happen during this time. It's only natural. When you have society that's war-torn and a mess, pestilence, disease takes place. The word that Jesus uses is this in Matthew 27 when he describes the last days. Look at it. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Say it with me. There shall be famines, and what's that word? And pestilences or disease. Where people are going to be dying from disease. I know this isn't a pleasant man. I know some of you think, I got up this morning, I dressed and everything. Got up there talking about pale and green and death and pestilence and disease. I hate that church. Well, give me another shot another week. Amen? Give me one more shot. You might hate it then too, but anyway. Hey, the world's got their Halloween messages, don't they? This is the Bible. It's what the Bible says. Even when you look at Halloween movies and horror movies, you see zombies and things like that that have this palish green color. I wonder where they got that from. You see what I'm saying? This is the real story. Okay? The Bible says death was on him and hell followed. And I looked and behold a pale horse. His name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. The word here is Hades. And the point is this. The basic idea here is the grave. Anytime you have death, What comes close behind? Somebody tell me. The grave. They go hand in hand. It's the place where the dead go after death. Their physical bodies go to a grave or back to the dust. Death and the grave always go hand in hand. And as you're reading this passage, there they are. They're together again. Both death and the grave speak of lifelessness and corruption. And that's what's going to be happening on this earth during these times. As mentioned here, they're inseparable companions. Keep looking. And by the way, this isn't science fiction. Is it, say? I don't think so far I've got off into science fiction. Are y'all with me or not? Does the grave follow death? Yes or no? And do we expect death to take place when there's war and famine and disease? Oh no, everybody gets better and lives happily ever after. No, that's science fiction. This is reality. Keep looking. During this time, people will die to hostility, hunger, and disease. It's what the Bible teaches about the last days. And then it says this, and we're going to get into this, so you better grab the back of your seat. Are you ready? Grab something, because if I hadn't made you sick yet, I'm fixing to. Here we go. And I didn't do this on purpose. And the beast of the earth. See, there you go, science fiction, beast of the earth. I just want to look at it. This ain't science fiction either. Got some data for you. Did a little study and research, and this isn't my original thoughts, but I want to share it with you. I believe the beasts mentioned here are closely linked to pestilence and disease. Why would I say that? Because they follow on the heels of death, and it's a natural thing that disease and pestilence is carried by animals. Is that correct, say? So let's just look at this carefully. Which of these animals, we're fixing to pop them up, hold on, is the most destructive? Don't do it yet. I want you to think, which animal is the most destructive animal? Let's pop it up and we're going to vote. Here we go. Pop it up. The lion, the tiger, the bear, or the rat? Well, let's see. The most destructive beast on the earth, as far as mankind is concerned, is not the lion, the tiger, the bear. Oh my, there it is. Here we go. The beast that has caused the death of more humans ever, by far, is who? The rat. Yuck. Wow. Let's look at this little booger just for a minute. Can we do it? Oh. Let's talk about the rat. It says, and the beast of the earth. The beast of the earth is going to bring death. The rat's adaptable, clever, and destructive. If 95% of the rat population were destroyed in an area, it would replicate itself within 12 months. Just that 5%. It'll be back up to bingo. It's responsible for the deaths of more people on the earth than all the wars combined. It makes its home wherever who? Man is found. In the 14th century, fleas from the rats killed more than one-third of the population of Europe in what was called, say it with me, the bubonic plague. Remember, they shut themselves in their houses. They put ashes on them and stuff like that, trying to keep themselves free from whatever it was killing them. They realized it was the fleas from the rats right inside their house. They couldn't escape. And more than a third died. What I'm saying is, does this sound like science fiction? Or do we have a history that we can look at that says this is more like reality? Okay? Rats carry as many as 35 diseases. Of course, I don't know this. I'm getting this from, people that do know. Rats menace food supply, which they both devour and contaminate, especially in underdeveloped countries. It happens. Okay? When there is war, famine, and disease, it's a reality for beasts like rats and others to wreak what? Havoc. And that's what's going to take place. This is not science fiction. It's just not something you and I know a lot about, is it? Say. See, I could give this message today, or I could talk about this topic today in some underdeveloped countries, and they would be nodding going, that's right. That's how we live. That's the way it is. They're at my house. They're behind my house. They're in our food. You see, you don't live that way really, do you, say? And so therefore, we just put it off as science fiction. No, most Hollywood people don't have a clue. This is what the Bible says, and this is the way even much of our world lives today. The pale horse. Keep looking. The Bible says 1/4. In this passage, it says 1/4 of those living during this time will die. That's a lot of people, isn't it? 1/4 of the planet? How many's on the planet? We learned last week, 6.5 billion people. Remember last week, 1 billion people live on less than how much a day? A dollar. Okay? Remember our stats on children under the age of 5? There are 10 children. Is that right? No, 70. About 70 children that die every hour, or 700 that die every hour, 700 that die every hour. So there's, you know, 10 or so a minute. Kids that die. And that's just under the age of 5. You see what I mean? But this is 1/4 are going to die according to the Bible. The reality of death. And I want you to see that in case you're here today or you're watching and you go, there's no way that many people can die. That's science fiction. Well, let's go over some history with you real quick. This is Uncle Gary and history lesson with you today. Here's some death stats. Pop them up. Death from disease. This is just several. We're going to run through them. In the 20th century, over 300 million people died from smallpox. Keep going. Over 200 million people died from malaria. Up to 100 million people died from TB. Since 1981, over 25 million people have died from HIV/AIDS. Between 1918 and 1919, 100 million people died from the Spanish flu. See, a lot of people can die at one time. It's a proven thing, unfortunately. It happens. Keep looking. Death from other causes. In the 3 years between 58 and 61, 43 million people died from famine in China. 43 million in 3 years. Another Chinese famine killed 24 million people in 1907. Just throwing some stats out. 1931, 3.7 million people died from a single flood. One flood killed 3.7 million in China in that year. In 1980, 10,000 people died in a heat wave in the United States. And they're usually never in Florida. You know what I'm saying? In 1970, 1 million people died from a cyclone. Just one. Boom, there goes a million. In 1976, 255,000 people died from an earthquake in China. How many remember this one? 500,000 people died in a tsunami in the Indian Ocean 3 years ago. Now, here's my point. I'm from the country. I didn't even know what no tsunami was. I thought it was like a Chinese fighter or something. I didn't know. Just an earthquake could happen, boom, and a big wave comes, and boom, there goes 500 million people. What's my point by giving you all this? Some type of grotesque figures and all that. Why? Because I don't want you to fall prey to being stupid. When you read your Bible, you go, yeah, he's right. That's science fiction. This is reality. These things not only will happen in the future, we have a track record in the past where we can see these things have happened. Is that making sense to you? Keep looking. So there's the reality of death, and we're not long. We're almost done, but I've got two other things real fast to say. There's the reality of death. That's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. But I also wanted to finish this little end of chapter 6 for you. There's the reality of persecution. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O holy Lord, Lord holy, and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In the last days, during this time, there's also going to be persecution. The reality of persecution. Listen to what Jesus put it. He's talking about the last days, Matthew 24. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Persecution is a reality in the last days. And you might say, persecution? We don't have any persecution. I want you to look at these countries where Christians are being persecuted and killed. George, listen to me, George. It ain't science fiction. It's happening today. People are being persecuted. Look at it. Look at the countries. In Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in Latin America, in the Middle East. All these are countries where Christians are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we live in America and we can pull our head within the sand and there's no, this, you know. I'm telling you, you better wake up. You hearing me? Jesus could come. That's the beautiful thing. Isn't it a sad thing? It's a good thing. Who knows? Do you believe the Bible or is it science fiction? It's a question for you to answer. The reality also of natural disasters. So there's the reality of death. There's the reality of persecution. And then quickly, the reality of natural disasters. The Bible speaks about in the end times, there's going to be natural disasters. Is that all cuckoo and science fiction stuff? And beheld. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great what? Earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. It was interesting watching the news. I couldn't watch a lot of it. It's depressing. About the fire in California. But they kept describing the sun. It looked like blood. It was red. And the moon. And sounded very, not like science fiction. Things have a way of looking like that when there's disasters. Right? Say. The reality of natural disasters. Look at the way Jesus put it. For nation shall rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines. There shall be pestilences. There shall be what? Earthquakes. In different places. Came across a little report done by seismologists. I've shared this before. I want you to see it. Now, reporting and recording of earthquakes has become much greater. And equipment is much more sensitive than it used to be. But I just want you to look at this thought. There were 42 earthquakes registered from 1900 to 1970. That's 70 years. There are 42 earthquakes. There were 51 earthquakes from 1970 to 2000. That's 30 years, but they're increasing, 51. But again, the technology is better as well. But look at this last one. There were 90 earthquakes recorded from 2000 to 2006. That's 6 years, 90 earthquakes. Am I saying, ooh, it's getting stronger and bigger, Jesus is coming? I'm not saying that that's happening because Jesus said no man knows the day nor the hour. Anybody that tells you that's a liar. Amen? And they're a fraud. And they're disagreeing with Jesus. Nor am I saying he's coming just because of that figure. All I'm saying is, what we see in our world today seems to line up with the Bible, and the comment that George made doesn't fly. It's not science fiction. So many of these things we can actually understand now and see with clarity. Matthew 24:8, Jesus said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. When you see a lot of this stuff we've been talking about with the four horsemen and all these things, when you just start seeing glimpses of this stuff, Jesus said, these are the beginning of sorrows. Things are going to be like that. All these things will begin to happen in embryonic form in the days preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't believe all of a sudden Jesus has come and everything will just start clicking. And all these things start happening. I think we will see things like we've been talking about happen before this actually takes place. Is that making sense to anybody? Okay? Is it scary? Here it is. Sure it is. What I've talked about, they're scary. When the church got scared. All right? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the one who's in control of all this mess? Say, do you know him? Say. Yeah, this is scary. I agree. But just because something's scary doesn't mean it's science fiction. That's where the church is today. My own sister, and I love her with all my heart. I preached recently in Carolina. And she said, I'll come hear you, but you're not going to make me sad, are you? You ain't going to say nothing sad. We want a church today where I tell you that God loves you so much, you can feel good about yourself, you're awesome, you're going to lose weight, you're going to do all these things. Listen, what about the Bible? I feel for us today in the church. This is the Word of God. Now, I haven't said Jesus coming this time and that. And I've even said during this series, when you're talking about prophecy, there is speculation, there is opinion, and we're giving some of that. But I'm just trying to let you see it's there. You can study it, compare it with what Jesus said, and I believe it makes some sense. It's not science fiction. Okay? I got a question for you. Here we're done. The Bible. Science fiction or reality? I've made my choice. Is the Bible science fiction or reality to you? How about this? Jesus Christ. Come on. Born of a virgin? died on a cross, was dead. They buried him 3 days. He came to life. Is that science fiction to you? Or do you believe in him? Heaven and hell. You don't believe in that heaven stuff, that hell. You don't believe in that myth. Don't be preaching that hell myth. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Is that science fiction to you, or is that reality? Where are you at today? Pop this up. Is it George or Jesus? That's what I'm talking about. Is it George or Jesus? I just don't think you can be in the or there. There ain't three choices. Is George or Jesus? Where you at today? Is there a God? Did he have a son? Am I a sinner? Will I go to hell if I don't put my faith in him? Science fiction or reality? George or Jesus? I close with these scriptures. Here's the way the chief of sinners, that's what he called himself, here's the way he put it, and I'm in his camp. You put me in Paul's camp. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? Hey, it takes faith. Without faith, you can't please God. I'm not saying it's the easiest thing to believe that God had a son, his name was Jesus, born of a virgin, died on a cross, rose from the dead. No, I'm not saying that's the easiest thing in the world to believe, but it's the thing you must believe according to the Bible if you're going to be saved. And you do it by faith. He ain't going to show up at your house. It's been done. Amen? Do you believe it? Or you can have it this way. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Keep looking. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be what? Wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, to beast, to four-footed beast, and creeping things. It's funny how somebody can call the Bible science fiction, but they can believe they're coming back as a butterfly. What is it? Reality or science fiction? As far as I'm concerned, I believe in the gospel, the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and millions who've gone before me, who preach the gospel, who've given their life for Christ, I believe in the reality of the gospel and not the science fiction that I hear today. Y'all listening? That's the message today. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the word confess means agree. If you agree with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. If you won't fool with his plan, monk with his plan, mess with his plan, just agree with the plan. That's what he did. He died. He rose from the dead. Do you believe with the plan? Then tell him. For the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be what? Ashamed. But they'll think I'm crazy if I believe in Jesus. They'll think I believe in science fiction. What do you believe? Think about it. Say it with me one last time. George? Or? Where you at today? This might be my only time to ever meet you. I want you to be left with that thought in your head. As you leave this place, is it George or is it Jesus? Thank God for me in 1977. I received Jesus. I made my choice. Call me a fool if you want to. The Bible says that's what I am anyway. I'm a fool for Christ's sake. But that's my choice. No Mickey Mousing around. Where are you at today? George or Jesus?